This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
All right, it is 7:06. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom, carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network from the Civic Media Station at Radio Park in Racine, where I am today, that place where Greg Bach likes to hang out weekday mornings, 6 through 8.
Hello.
This place is amazing.
Thank you.
Especially since, I mean, this is an old-timey radio place. How far back do the studios go?
The station goes back 98 years. The radio park, the building itself, I think goes back to the 50s.
Okay. It's wonderfully, it's designed just how you'd expect, and I love some of the artwork here. And my new favorite podcast that I just started getting into is called The History of Rock in 500 Songs. And it's like this 10-year project. And I'm only on like episode 8 or something. So it's a lot of stuff from the 20s and 30s, you know, a lot of boogie woogie and doo-wop and early jazz and things like that. And you're in a building like this, mm-hmm. and you're just like, you can totally imagine how old time radio once was, where everybody had to dress up like in tuxes or suits before you could broadcast. And look at us now, you know, they'll just let anybody in this place.
Next coming up, this new kid called Elvis Presley. Sounds like he's going nowhere.
Yeah, we'll play the record and then we'll forget all about it. So it's nice to be here in Racine to meet up with some of the other Civic Media hosts and producers, and something that we haven't done since I don't know when. So it'll be good to get everybody together. And then we'll tell you all about it on Monday on this January, what is it, 17th?
Yes. It's the 17th.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's right there at the bottom of my screen on social media. I should really look at that now and then. The 17th is National Customer Service Day. It is Hot Buttered Rum Day. It's Bootleggers Day to mark the beginning of Prohibition, Kid Inventors Day, and Ditch Your New Year's Resolutions Day. So there it is, kids. It's official. You can give up now.
Kid inventor, like we invent children?
I don't know. If so, we got to go back to the drawing board, because I mean, some of these kids, I mean, just
okay, Grandpa, settle down.
I was talking about how the week they all catch colds and get Grandpa and Grandpa sick all the time. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot joins us as well. Brittany, good morning. How are you? Brittany, where'd you go?
There we are.
Try again.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, good, good. So let's see. There were a lot of comments, and I'm on a different computer. I'm not used to it. I'm trying to bring it all up. There's so much going on here. And Rob and Tigerton had a few notes here about the weather, saying that it's partly cloudy and 28 in central Wisconsin. Watch out for some icy spots, especially on county and town roads. He said he got to enjoy the warm January day, making sure most of the sidewalks and parking lots that I take care of are clear from ice, especially with the very cold weather on the way, so that nobody slips and falls. He says he remembers the term polar vortex coming out of the 2012 to 14 seasons with the cold weather that we had, especially in the second half of the winter. And he says, I hope three of the very best people on morning radio have a very wonderful and happy weekend. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Rob. And
Is he talking to me?
I'm only seeing three people on the screen. It's us, pal. It's here we are.
I don't see Todd Alba around here.
Nope. No Todd here. But he's foreshadowing Brittany's forecast, which is this is weirdly above average, and it's about to be really weirdly below average.
Oh. Brittany's frozen. It's so cold that she's frozen. Weather joke.
I thought she was paying such good attention to us over here with the setup.
It's just the look right now. So, Brittany, if you can hear us, just give us a call and we'll put you through or come back on. But
Well, here's your weather. It's really above average.
Yes.
And it's going to be really below average.
Oh,
it's going to be stupid cold again in the coming days. So if Brittany pops back on, we'll be sure to have her tell us the details. But it's funny. There she was, and then there she wasn't. So now we know.
She couldn't handle the compliment from Robin Tigerton.
I guess. Well, let's turn instead then to our next guest and talk about something called the People's March. You'll recall that there were women's marches in 2017, right around the time of Donald Trump's first inauguration. And now, on the verge of his return to the White House, there are marches scheduled in places around the country, including around Wisconsin, that are meant to send a message, part defiance, part resilience. Let's find out more about it from our guest, Pa Tao, who's in Eau Claire with a group called Power Up Eau Claire and is part of something called the Eau Claire Coalition for the People's March. Pa, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it. Can you start? Let's start first with the concept of the People's March and what it is. Then we'll get into the Eau Claire Coalition and the other groups that are working on these marches around the country. But what's the idea behind the People's March?
Yeah, thank you. The main reason for the People's March is to defend and advocate for rights and the freedom of all people, right? It is a collective effort to stand up against policies and actions that threaten our civil liberties, our democracy and social justice. And really the gist of the march is to unite people together to take a stand against inequalities and to show that we are united as a community and we will stand up against inequalities that impact all of our community across the nation.
Yeah, because I mean, here's the important thing to note. Donald Trump, like it or not, won the election. It still causes a lot of us to shake our heads, but clearly there was people listened. But what did people vote for? And a lot of people talked about the economy and prices and a vibe and things out there. There are other people who are thinking, well, what people voted for was rolling back rights and maybe making it okay to, discriminate or things like that. And I get the idea that part of the People's March is to say, no, there almost nobody voted for that, and that these are rights and protections that have to be defended and frankly spoken up for in marches like this.
Yes, absolutely. Exactly. Some of the issues that are like really impacting our community that the Eau Claire Coalition members and us at Power Up Eau Claire uplifting are women's rights, right? And so women's rights to autonomy, to abortion, queer and trans rights, the rights to be who you are, to love who you want to love, to be with who you want to be. And talking about issues that are impacting our community locally as well. So things like affordable housing and the unhoused community here in Eau Claire. And then overall, just our general rights to having equality for everyone. And so those are the rights that, we obviously, want to say to make sure that it stays in policies and that when our elected officials are making decisions that they know that people are watching, right, and that community are watching. And so the march is a way to really showcase that our community is united and that we are watching, right? And even if we do vote someone to office who are aiming or wanted to strip away those rights, that people are watching and we're not going to let that happen. And so yeah, so that's really what it is.
Can you tell us a bit more about it by way of describing the Eau Claire Coalition, as well as Power Up Eau Claire, your organization, but what all makes up the Eau Claire Coalition?
Yeah, so the Eau Claire Coalition is a coalition of committed and collaborative nonprofits, so organizing here locally in Eau Claire. There's a handful of us that come together every month to really talk about issues that are impacting our community here locally, right? And to organize together collaboratively across our different focus areas. And so obviously for Power Up Eau Claire, our mission is to really amplify the voices of the Hmong community here and to bring up issues that impact our community. And so being part of the coalition allow us to like really have a wide scope of outreach and to also know like what other nonprofits and organizers are doing in Eau Claire and to really work with them to bring up issues, right? And to uplift issues that are impacting not just the Hmong community, but our community across Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley. There are several members, but each of the organizations get to like really pick and choose like what projects they want to participate in, uplift with. And so with the march that's coming up tomorrow, the participating members are Jonah, which has been doing a lot of work here in Eau Claire around different things that are impacting community, including housing, immigration. And then we also have Citizens Action Wisconsin, which is a statewide organizations that work to get citizens to activate them to talk about issues and bring up issues that are important to the community across the state as well. And then we also have the Wisconsin Public Education Network, which works on issues that impact students, right, in public schools. And so those are like the members that are organizing to participate to plan the march tomorrow. But the Eau Claire Coalition really is just a really good activated coalition of organizations that are really working together to make sure that across the Chippewa Valley, right, that all the issues are impacting us, from housing to public schools, to all of that, that we have it covered and that we are in tune to what's happening in our community. And that way we can respond by organizing or bringing up issues with each other that we want to uplift to highlight.
And this is not something when I say Eau Claire, like, oh, it just happens in the college towns, of, you know, because of course there's one in Milwaukee, there's one in Madison, Oshkosh, mm-hmm. but also in places like Elkhorn, Muskego, Wausau, Minocqua are having these, because everywhere around Wisconsin and everywhere around the country, no matter how red the territory is from an election day standpoint, there are plenty of friends and neighbors in those communities who want to stand up for rights. If there's one thing we learned after the Dobbs decision, is there are plenty of women and their allies who tend to vote Republican, but who've said, oh, no, we're not rolling back the right to bodily autonomy. And so I'm sure you think that it's good that in all of these communities, anybody that wants to make a show of support and stand up against attacks on rights, they have their voices heard.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So showing up to support issues that are important to you, but not just for you, right, but for people around you, for your loved ones, for your children, for your friends, your family, your daughter, your sisters, your mom. Showing up means that you are that you care about issues that are impacting all of us. Right. And that when we unite. So I think one of the big messages about the People's March is that united, we can make a difference. And so I really, really excited for tomorrow. The march starts at 1 o'clock at Phoenix Park at the Former Smoke and Pavilion. So please come and join us. We'll have signs there. We'll have hot chocolate. And we have four impacted leaders in our community that will be talking about issues that are impacting our community here locally.
And so look up People's March Wisconsin or your hometown, find out where it is and come be a part of it. Or if you see it tomorrow as you're going out and about, feel free to join in. Pa Tao of the Power Up Eau Claire and Eau Claire People's Coalition, thank you so much. Great to hear about the event. Good luck to you. Have fun tomorrow.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we'll have former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, journalist Mark Jacob, and we'll talk about the Trump transition. This is Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
One of my favorite remakes, that one, the Bengals there. Susanna Hoffs has a birthday today. The Wisconsin men's Badger basketball team is at USC starting a West Coast road trip. Coverage of tomorrow's game begins at 1 o'clock on several Civic Media stations, including right here where I am in Racine at WRJN, but also on the Civic Media app. Get that app and find out more. You can also subscribe to our daily newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com. There was a special edition late yesterday to note the passing of Bob Uecker and pass on some stories about Mr. Baseball. And then the regular issue today, which coincidentally includes on the cusp of the Trump inauguration, a column by one Mark Jacob called 10 Things You Can Do to Defend Democracy. And Mark Jacob joins us, as does former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, to talk more about events that are in the news. We were going to be joined by Jennifer Schulze as well. She was a late scratch. This is that time of year where illness and other reasons put you on the bench. And so we'll look forward to talking to Jennifer next week. Mark and James, how are you guys? Oh, I can't hear you.
6 hours from the change in administrations here. So exciting time in America.
Right? Exciting is one way to look at it. I'm going to ask you about executive orders in a bit. But, Mark, since we did include a link in our newsletter today about the 10 things you can do with Trump coming into office, do you want to talk a bit about your advice to Americans on how we handle things starting Monday at noon Eastern time?
Yeah, I mean, it's important not to just give up and recede, not to sit on your couch and turn on old movies and forget about life. I mean, I'm scared, Pat. I mean, I think that we're in a real bad situation. And I think that Trump and his cronies are going to do horrible things. There was an election. A lot of people didn't vote. Lies triumphed over truth, and so that happened. And but it's not over yet. I mean, this is a democracy, and we have a lot of strong people in this country. And his Trump's picks for all these important offices make it really clear that he intends to do terrible things. He intends to, with the help of people in Congress, Republicans in Congress, he hopes to suck away congressional power and stick it in the White House where he can do whatever he wants. I mean, there are a lot of signs that that bad things are going to happen. But you know what? I mean, people need to be loud. They need to talk. They need to talk to their neighbors. They need to pay attention to the news. They need to get out, off their couch and into the streets and protest as appropriate. I mean, there are things to do.
It gets me to underscore the point, Mark, that, Trump won the election, but what people voted for or thought they were voting for, it may not necessarily be reflected in the actions that take place starting Monday, and that, it's not just important for people who voted for Trump to pay attention to what is actually happening, but it is also important for people who did not vote for Donald Trump to let other people know what is happening. So, like you said, this is hardly a time to, I like the way you put it, put on old movies. As much as people would love to walk away, there's never been a more important time to pay attention and convey the news of the day to friends and family.
Yeah, I mean, exactly correct that, nobody voted for Trump because they wanted to invade the Panama Canal zone, with troops and stuff like that. I mean, or make Canada the 51st state. I mean, that's just bozo crazy stuff. And even people who, have for some stupid reason support Trump, they didn't support that. And so, it's this bait and switch kind of stuff. You're going to get cheaper eggs and all that stuff, and you're not going to get cheaper eggs. And since the election, all this crap that he said was going to happen, we're going to lower prices. And now he's saying, boy, it's really tough to lower prices. I don't know. It's really... so it's this con man bait and switch, and people need to realize that and stop getting conned.
So that takes us from the things that are, bonkers and sound, big and audacious and brash, to the things that could really happen, things that are legal and technical. And Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, I know we've talked about the notion of executive orders before, and I have said that, my concern is that on Monday, but frankly, anytime after Monday, we are going to see Trump try to do things by executive order, things that may get challenged in court, but things that may do, some kind of damage. I wonder now, as we get closer to, less than 100 hours until Trump is inaugurated, if you have any new insight or any new concerns, or frankly, do you have any fewer concerns about how the whole matter of executive orders are going to work next week?
Concerns remain just as profound this morning as they have been in the past. And again, as Mark is just saying, the president has promised an awful lot of things. We'll see whether they practically can come into place. It's one thing, obviously, for any president, including this incoming president, outgoing President Joe Biden, to sign a document. It's another thing to see whether or not it can actually be implemented. One of those that I'm especially concerned of, and it sounds wonky, and I recognize it's not the kind of thing that will get people out there in the streets, is perhaps they're doing in places like South Korea and even a pre-Gaza war Israel, and maybe even in Syria these days, where people are upset about basic things that are changing with their government. One of the things that Donald Trump has promised is to issue what's called a new Schedule F, which would change dramatically the conduct and the capacity of government to respond to basic needs, basically turning arguably thousands, tens of thousands of government employees who are protected right now as civil servants doing the work of our nation without partisan animus, without partisan motivation, apolitically, into at-will employees who could be fired because they're not loyal. That, again, sounds very HR-like, and it is, and it's not the kind of thing that maybe gets people out on the street, but talk about a way that you can change government. To your good point, Pat, would that be challenged? You bet it would. But again, a federal district court judge somewhere, an appeals court judge, a panel of judges has got to get a hold of that then and perhaps stay it, suspend it for a while, and then we'll have challenges about whether or not the president can do this. We recall well at the end of his last term, he entered that order, didn't have time to implement it. But that alone, among many other things that we've discussed and will discuss, underscores the power that he now has, not without judicial review. As Mark was just saying, there are things that judges can do, things that other people can do as guardrails and checks, but he can still undertake to try to go down those roads. And that's why it's so scary.
Oh, we'll Jim, talk. You know, the idea that he can put his cronies in government positions and kick out experts. People need to understand.
I'm up against the break here, so pick up there where we left off right after
I'll
this.
Chase it back.
On Upper North News Radio. We'll be right back.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
I really can't
but baby,
stay.
It's cold outside.
I've got to go away.
I know you thought you weren't going to hear the song anymore now that the holidays are past, but it is Zooey Deschanel's birthday today. There she is singing that along with Leon Redbone for the movie Elf. And we will hear from Leon Redbone again yet before the hour is out as we meet with Mike Clemens and talk about Bob Uecker. And we'll connect all those dots coming up in just a bit here. Before we head back to Mark Jacob and Jim Santel and the Trump transition, a few quotes here, comments from Facebook from Joseph. Bro, y'all need to stop lying to people. Trump did everything he said he'd do in the first term. Y'all need to get this false information out of here and stop spreading it. Trump 2025. Well, I guess in terms of doing what he said he was going to do, infrastructure week, healthcare bill. Anybody? The thing he did was he lowered taxes for the very rich. He said he was going to do that, and he did that. Not aware of anything else that he got done. Email from, it says, from Jim Sensenbrenner. I don't know if it's that Jim Sensenbrenner. Please unsubscribe me from your anti-American political propaganda. After 4 years of suffering through the worst presidency of all time, how dare you talk about a resurgence of the progressive Democratic Party? Thank God we have elected a true leader with high values to make our lives better again by lowering the cost of living, securing our border, lowering crime and taxes. Please get out of the way to let him and his team lead us out of Biden's mess. I'm not aware of one true statement in there. Crime is already lower. The number of people crossing the border is lower. The cost of living is lower. And don't even get me started on the high values. But I did want to let you know that folks with a conflicting opinion do share it with us. And we thought in the mode of fairness, we would share that for just a moment. Back to our guest now, former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Craig's head's about to explode over there. And Mark Jacob as well from the Stop the Press's newsletter. I don't know where you pick up after that. Let's go with this. President Biden announced, Jim, that he was again commuting the sentences of, what, some 2,500 people. before the commercials can start running that Joe Biden is letting murderers out onto the streets, can we clarify, please, what these folks have done and, you know, what more importantly, what they haven't done? Violence comes to mind, for example, in commuting these sentences.
That's the big one, of course. And all of these recent sentences, including commutation sentences of sentences, have focused on nonviolent offenders. That's a very important thing to note. And the other piece of this is that these most recent 2,500 basically correct some things that people on all sides of the political aisle have agreed that needed to be corrected for many, many years. This kind of goes back to the crack powder debate of many years ago, back in the 90s, of course, when Congress passed some very draconian laws. I was a part of administrations back then, prosecution teams that apolitically followed the guidelines of the Congress. And yes, indeed, prosecuted an awful lot of people, high penalties, penalties that resulted in their being in prison for long periods of time. Along the way, what has happened is Congress has reduced those penalties appropriately, somewhat significantly, and has, what's among other things, has evened out the penalties between crack powder, which again, historically in America, white affluent users of cocaine have used, and powder cocaine. I'm sorry, just the opposite. Powder cocaine, which a white and affluent of members of our community have used, and crack powder, which has been traditionally affiliated with defendants who are of color. And so over the period of a long period of time, Congress has evened out that notion. Even during the prior administration, there have been attempts to do that under Eric Holder. And now what Joe Biden is basically doing is saying, those people who would have gotten lower sentences previously under the laws that apply should now be getting the benefit retroactively of what the Congress has already done. It is bringing fairness and decency and justice to those sentences that were imposed for these people.
Well, that'll certainly be debated on right-wing talk as far as whether just how many murderers are included in there and so forth. But Mark, that takes me to another thing that President Biden did. And as I'm looking at CNN up on the screen here in the studio, again, couldn't help but notice that after a deal was reached for a ceasefire in the Mideast and for hostages to be freed, the Chyron from CNN says Biden defends his role in Mideast negotiations. And anytime I see defends, I mean, I don't even know why anybody allows that to be put in headlines anymore, because it's a loaded word, because I don't believe Biden was defending his role. I believe he was touting his role. I think he was probably bragging about his role. And newsrooms, I think, really got to be careful with a word like defense.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of a trick word. It's a kind of a code word that people use. I wrote headlines for decades, so I know this. And if you want to like convey the idea that somebody's under siege and has been criticized a lot, but you want to pretend that you're being fair about it, you know, you throw the word defend in, and that in effect makes them, that's how you convey the accusation without conveying the accusation.
Right, exactly. And we've seen that at the state level as well. You know, Evers defends, you know, something that he does. Let me switch gears for both of you for a moment to talk about Monday, not the inauguration, but the fact that it will be it is the Martin Luther King Jr. National Holiday. And here's another case, Mark, where, again, the choice of words matters and the context of the words matter. And how many times, Mark, have we heard Republican politicians say, well, I don't see color, and I just go along with Martin Luther King that, you know, we shouldn't judge each other by the color of our skin, but the content of our character. It's an extreme word, but I mean, it is perverting the meaning of what Dr. King was trying to say.
Totally right. You know, a friend of mine, Jonathan Eig, who won the Pulitzer Prizes last year for his biography of Martin Luther King Jr., wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post about this. And it's about, you know, how the right wing has taken that content of his character stuff to pretend that King, you know, wanted a colorblind society in which nobody even thought about what, you know, past racism or current inequities, you know, and that's not the case at all. I mean, I would recommend everyone read Ike's book. It's super good. I mean, I thought I knew about Martin Luther King Jr., but he taught me so much more. And it's really a fast read and well worthwhile. And you realize that King was a controversial, bold person who was saying things that were not popular at the time, including his opposition to the Vietnam War, etc. But what Republicans want to do is pull that one phrase out and make it seem as if King was opposed to affirmative action and initiatives to, you know, improve diversity and equity in employment, etc. And that's just not true at all. I mean, it's a totally hijacking what he said in order to kind of make it seem as if you support King when you don't really.
And pretending that systemic racism has never existed when it does exist in our healthcare.
And that it's all cured, Pat.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that it's all good
it's
now.
It's all cured. So let's not do anything. Yep. It still exists in different outcomes in healthcare. It still exists in education in the different outcomes and Jim in our court system. It's still there. But when you say systemic racism, meaning there's a history that leads to this disparity, but right away, you know, the right wing will get this gag reflex to say, you're calling me a racist. No, addressing systemic racism does not mean that, you know, somebody currently is racist. It does mean that there are imbalances. And yet, if you address that, if you, for example, the legislature a year or two ago was debating setting up a task force for violence against indigenous and black women. And a Republican legislator held it up saying, why should they be treated differently? I believe in Martin Luther King's quote, et cetera, et cetera. It makes it really tough, Jim, in your field, for example, to address these disparities.
It does. And to follow up on this good conversation and making appropriate historical reference to Martin Luther King, when I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office on every Martin Luther King Day or times around then, I'd always read that portion of the letter from the Birmingham jail, right? Which is emotional, it is human, and he says things like, what do I tell my little girls, my daughters, my sons, who are being told that they cannot play in the park, that they cannot go to this particular library, that they cannot do these things? And what do I say to them as the tears well up in their eyes about the America that I've talked with them about, which again, we are patriots, we support America. What do I tell them? Martin Luther King was wide-eyed and understanding completely not only what has happened in the past, yes, the promise of the future, but never, never did he say that we need to be completely blind to our history, and that includes exactly what we're talking about right now. It continues to be an issue all the time. This is about the enforcement of our civil rights laws, which, yes, even under the coming administration, the Fair Housing Act, the Civil Rights Act, the Voting Rights Act, as much as the latter has been eviscerated by the present Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, all of those remain the law of the land. And what is their purpose? It's exactly what the two of you have described already, which is to remedy the failures. And yes, indeed, it's not unpatriotic to talk about the failures of our nation in the past. It is patriotic to do so because we build on that. Those laws and the things that we do in court, the Justice Department, if it's properly got its mission in place, private citizens, all of those things under the laws of America to remedy and make the nation better than it is. That's what Martin Luther King was talking about. Read the letter from a Birmingham jail once again and get a sense of what we can do and should be doing in America.
Let's close on the Trump transition to a new cabinet. If time allows, we'll get to Jim's impression of Pam Bondi promising to read up on what the 14th Amendment is. But that notwithstanding, Mark, other impressions from the confirmation hearings? Hegseth. He's actually going to survive this thing, isn't he?
It sure looks like it, you know, with Joni Ernst folding. You know,
unbelievable.
Like a tent. You know, I mean, it's just what the kind of thing we've been seeing, which is that the Republicans in the Congress really don't care about our national security, and they don't care about fairness, and they don't care about safety and equity toward women. And, you know, Pete Hegseth, you know, clearly, you know, is drunk on the job in past jobs, has been incompetent at administering past jobs, is, is accused of sexual assault, paid hush money for sexual assault, is in favor of war crimes overseas, seems really open to the idea of the U.S. military being used against U.S. citizens on American shores. You know, you would think that that would bother some people, but the Republicans have put a lot of pressure on lawmakers, you know, to go along, or they're going to get primaried next time. And unfortunately, to me, it's unpatriotic if you're going to vote against the best interests of your country in order to advance your political career. So you get a nice limo and stuff. That is disgusting and unpatriotic, and that's exactly what the Republicans in the Senate are doing.
But it is all rooted in loyalty, and so we'll close there, Jim, that you know, you're not getting Matt Gaetz as Attorney General. Yeah, got that going for you. But instead you get Pam Bondi, who is no less a minion. What did you think of her confirmation hearing?
You know, she said those things that I'm sure she was well-prepped to say. Lots of non-content there, right? And again, the failure of so many of these nominees to be able to say, yes, indeed, Joe Biden won the 2020 election. An attorney general has got to move forward based upon facts. And putting aside the political aspect of even something like that, that indicates to me that she's not willing to acknowledge the reality of the world. When it comes to the 14th Amendment, I'm not saying you've got to be able to recite every specific word in the Constitution. But yes, indeed, due process, equal protection, the post-Civil War amendments there, those are things that are invoked every single day by assistant United States attorneys in what will be her Department of Justice. That language, the invocations of it, the applications of it, the attorney general needs to have not only an understanding of what the 14th Amendment says, but how it's applied. Absolutely.
I just hope all those assistant U.S. attorneys use small words in their memos. Yes. Moving forward here. I just remember when the Clinton White House was always nervous that Janet Reno would do something because they believed in her independence. It made them crazy, but they believed in an independent judiciary. We are definitely not seeing that going forward. Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Scholz, you'll be back next week. Gentlemen, thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
It's a pleasure.
All right. Mike Clemens helps us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Perfect.
Streaks on the china, never mattered before. Who cared when you drop-kicked your jacket as you came through the door? No one glared, but sometimes things get turned around and no one spared.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know, and my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker, in the now famous Hall of Fame speech from 2003. And before that, Leon Redbone with the theme to Mr. Belvedere, the sitcom starring Bob Uecker. I didn't think we'd get Leon Redbone twice in one show, but there we are. Mike Clemens is with us now on the phone, I believe, Greg. Yes, there he is, joining us to talk more about the passing of Mr. Baseball. Mr. Clemens, how are you?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
Very good, thank you. You know, obviously, a bit of a melancholy day. Look, the tears are genuine from folks, but, you know, 90 is a hell of a run, and he, you know, you find the exit knowing that you are beloved. I've never met Bob Uecker, so I don't have any personal memories of him. But he strikes me as somebody who was at peace understanding the positive impact that he had on so many people in Wisconsin.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it just came naturally to him. You know, in the last couple of years, first he stopped doing games on the road. Mm-hmm. And then in the last year or two, he stopped, you know, if they had a homestand, he might do one game from that. And so that's when Bob would... he'd get up in the morning, go fishing out on Lake Michigan, then go to the house in Menominee Falls, and then get in the Corvette, drive to the ballpark, pull into the loading dock, had his own little personal space there, and walk in and go upstairs, and then hang out in the clubhouse and talk for a couple hours with players, with staff, and then go out and interview the manager and go upstairs and do the game. And then right after his goodbyes on the network, you know, back out the door and in the Corvette and back home. But then he started seeing them needing to use, like, you know, a cart, like you know, a person at the airport. And you can listen up in the press box, or even if you're at the gate, you can listen. I think it's FM 88.5, and you can get program, you know, just like the straight feed, so it's in real time. And so I started listening to that because I'm thinking, I don't know if he's going to be back next year as a 90-year-old person.
Right.
And you could hear kind of this hard breathing, heavy breathing during breaks and things. And you just thought, well, he's a 90-year-old man. The age is creeping up. Yesterday, between the press release that was jointly written with his family, with his wife, and from Mark Antanasio, got to talk to him yesterday in a Zoom call. He'd been battling small cell lung cancer for 2 years.
Wow.
And Mark said, I would say to him, you know, you can slow down, just take it easy. And he got choked up as he talked to us yesterday, and he said, there were days last year where Bob Uecker would go in for radiation treatment, get in the car, come to the ballpark, and do a full game.
Unbelievable. I mean, talk about a trooper, you know? That's the kind of work ethic that doesn't, I mean, it doesn't surprise me in the least. Because again, 54 years in one gig is dedication. He had the opportunity to go to other networks. He had the opportunity to do, you know, more acting gigs, and yet he stayed true to the hometown. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, he gets into baseball. As you heard, his father paid the $3,000.
Yep.
Six years in the majors with the Braves, the Cards. He was with the Cards team in '64. When they won the World Series, a stint with the Phillies, but 6 years in the major leagues. And then he started a speaking tour. He was doing engagements like colleges and keynote speakers at sports banquets and stuff. And one night, you know, he's up there kind of developing that act, and Al Hurt, Cotton Candy, remember him?
Yeah, yeah.
The 60s trumpet player?
Yep.
Al was also there performing and went up to Bob after, and he says, "You're funny. And I tell you what, I'm going to get you on the Tonight Show. I know Carson's people." And Bob thought, yeah, right, sure. And 2 weeks later, the producers of the Tonight Show called Bob, and that's how the Carson thing started. I mean, he did his first break on there, which you can find on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so fun. And when he left, you know, Johnny leaned over to Ed McMahon and said, "Did that guy really play baseball?" And Ed said, "Yeah, I guess so. So, you know, he's on Carson over 100 times. Then he does Mr. Belvedere.
Mm-hmm.
Then he does the film. He's Harry Doyle, the play-by-play
yep.
guy in
yep.
Major League, which they filmed the summer of '89 in
at County Stadium. I remember it well. Yeah.
And then the light beer commercials. I mean, you know, what a career.
Oh my goodness, yes. And we played some of the clips that you supplied us before about the way players felt like they could trust him. They really did consider him one of the team.
Yeah, and I asked those guys that on a question. We got to talk to Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich, Brandon Woodruff, the pitcher. And I said, you know, Bob was so good at recognizing that the material could come from a clubhouse, because a clubhouse has got a collection of characters in it sometimes, right?
Right.
Guys do kind of weird things. Like, he would talk about the time they took out a famous pitcher, Hall of Famer. He wouldn't name who it was. I think it was Drysdale. But they're down in a fancy restaurant at a steak place, and they're going around. And so he says, "Yeah, I'll have this Philip Morgan." And the server's like, "I'm sorry, what?" And then he points to the menu and says, "Okay, that's the filet mignon."
he was very much in that.
Stories like that.
Yeah, and he loved those kinds of jokes. Mike Clemens, thank you for sharing the memories of Mr. Baseball. We appreciate you getting up early with us so much. Have a good weekend.
You too, Pat. Thank
all right.
You.
And thanks to all of you for joining us here as well for Up North News Radio, which is brought to you by Courier, a pro-democracy news network building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. On Monday, we'll talk about the inauguration. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be here as well. Greg Bach is back in 2 hours for Matinee on Air. Have a great week.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.